Good morning and welcome to Warden. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. I had a really nice Christmas and I'm sad Christmas is over, but I'm not sad that 2020 is almost over. We have 4 more days to go and I have to wonder what else will happen in the next 4 days. 2020 has been an especially challenging year. I saw some memes on Facebook that I thought summed up 2020 quite well. The first one was, if 2020 was a slide, this is what it would look like. The next one is, if 2020 was a swing. If 2020 was a bag of potato chips, it would be orange juice and toothpaste flavor. And my favorite of all, if 2020 was a drink, what would it be? Colonoscopy prep. Seriously, 2020 will be remembered as a difficult year for our world. There were wildfires, floods, hurricanes, murder hornets, civil unrest, and of course, it will always be known as the year of the worldwide coronavirus pandemic. We have seen and experienced entire countries close down, commerce slowed to a crawl, whole cities and communities shut off and placed in quarantine. Every day, we'd also hear the new infection numbers and the death count. I'm hoping 2021 is much better. Sometimes it's difficult to imagine life getting better, but it can. But you have to have a good imagination and maybe be a little bit like the guy I read about. Several weeks after this young man had been hired, he was called into the personal director's office. "What is the meaning of this?" the director asked. "When you applied for this job, you told us you had 5 years experience. Now we've discovered this is the first job you've ever held." Well, the young man replied, "In your advertisement, you said you wanted someone with imagination." As a child, I had a vivid imagination. Growing up in a tiny community in Newfoundland, there wasn't much to do, so you had to use your imagination to have fun. And one thing I loved to do was to lie on the ground and look up at the clouds and imagine what they look like. Some were planes or houses or people or angels. Some were animals. And I'd be able to imagine many wonderful things floating by. I loved doing that. Another favorite pastime as a child was imagining what my life would be like when I grew up. I would spend hours with the Sears catalog, going through it and imagining how it would be when I grew up. I would pick a woman that would be me and a man that was going to be my husband. Then I'd pick out our children and all our clothes and our furniture. I spent many wonderful hours imagining what life would be like. Today, on this last Sunday of 2020, I want all of us to take a few minutes to just imagine. Actually, would you for a moment use your imagination? Now, I know that's difficult for adults to do, but please try. I thought that even coming to the preschool classroom might help. But I want you to imagine yourself as being all that God wants you to be. Imagine being strong and courageous. Imagine yourself free from bad habits. Imagine yourself accomplishing great things for God. Imagination allows us to see what God could do and what God would do. Now, there's a great man of God in the Bible that had the ability to imagine what God could do and what he would do, and that man's name was Joshua. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you, will be with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua was Moses' assistant for many years. He had an amazing mentor in Moses, and I'm sure he learned a great deal from Moses and Moses' friendship with God. And now this was the time when the children of Israel were about to experience a new beginning, a fresh start. Moses had just died, and Joshua was now their leader. They were about to leave the wilderness where they had spent 40 years to enter the promised land. This was their new beginning. Imagine Joshua. He was facing what seemed like an unnatural, impossible situation. They were going to have to cross the river and then conquer a walled city to get to the promised land. The natural thing to do would have been to say that that's impossible, I can't do it, and just continue on in the wilderness. But Joshua was a leader, a man who had faith in God and his ability to imagine what God could do, and he was willing to do what it took to move forward. And this was an exciting time in Israel's history. It truly was a new beginning. And as we come to the end of another year, it's also a time of new beginnings, a fresh start for each one of us. We don't know what this year has in store. I want this year to be better than the last. I want to accomplish more for God and grow in my walk with Him. I want walls to fall down and battles to be won in each one of our lives. Now, you might be thinking, well, every year I say I'm going to change in certain areas, but I always fail. And I'm sure every year for 40 years, the children of Israel thought this might be the year that we make it to the promised land. And year after year, they wandered around in the wilderness. But the time did come. And I truly believe that this could be the year for you. But you need to, first of all, be able to imagine what God could do and would do in your life like Joshua did. So what was it about Joshua that gave him the ability to imagine what God could do? I want to know because I want that for my own life. And I'm sure that's a desire for most people who are listening this morning. So for a few moments, I just want to look at Joshua during this very important time in his life and see what it was about Joshua that gave him the ability to imagine what God could do and would do. And I think there's many reasons, but I want to focus on three this morning. The first reason was because Joshua believed the promises of God. I read that after an evening out, some parents returned home to their children, whom they'd left with a babysitter. They were pleasantly surprised to find the kids fast asleep. When the sitter had been paid and she was just about to walk out the door, she turned and said, "Oops, I almost forgot to tell you. I promised Sammy that if he would stay in bed, you would get him a pony in the morning." That was a promise that was sure to be broken. And sometimes we have trouble keeping promises. Have you ever had someone break a promise that they made to you? Perhaps someone promised that they would love, honor, and keep you till death do you part, and they broke that promise, and now you are divorced. Or perhaps someone borrowed something from you and promised to give it back, but never did, and you feel cheated. Perhaps your parents promised that they would protect you, and they didn't. And I could go on and on, because we live in a world of broken promises. But we need to know and believe that God is faithful, and He will always keep His promises. I read something recently in a devotional book called His Promises. And in that book, it said, "Without Jesus' promises, our faith will be pointless, our prayers powerless. But because His promises are true and unchanging, we can stand no matter what life sends our way. As the ultimate promise maker and promise keeper, God's covenants are our comfort, our provision, our strength in all times and circumstances." The author goes on to say, "A relationship cannot exist, much less progress, without promises. We owe our very lives to promises kept. We are the product of promises. And as much as we value the impact of promises, their importance grows as we realize how much our relationship with God is based on promises. When we begin to look for them, God's specific commitments overwhelm us. Ultimately, our exercise in faith and trust requires that we take one or more of God's promises promises at face value and make it a reason for the decisions or the choices that we make. Wow. Do you see how important it is that we trust in God's promises? There's an old hymn that was one of my mom's favorites called Standing on the Promises of God. And Joshua knew how to stand on the promises of God. He believed that God would keep his promises. And in verses 9 and 5 of chapter 1, we find a couple of promises that God made to Joshua. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then in verse 5, it says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." God promised him he would be with him wherever he went and that he would never leave him or forsake him. And Joshua believed God. Did you know that if you're a child of God, he's made those same promises to you? Joshua knew God was faithful and that he was with him wherever he went, and that's why he could go and do what he did. It reminds me of something that Pastor Tom Richardson always used to say. He used to say, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Joshua was also able to imagine what God would do because he knew God's word. Verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I read that in 1914, Ernest Shackleton and a team of explorers set out from England to do something that no one had ever accomplished before: cross Antarctica from one side to the other across the South Pole. Disaster struck when the team ship Endurance became entrapped in ice and eventually sank after the hull was crushed. Marooned on nearby Elephant Island, there seemed to be little hope for survival. In desperate effort to get help, Shackleton and five others set out on a 20-foot lifeboat across the most dangerous and storm-filled waters in the world. It was an 800-mile journey to South Georgia Island where help could be found. For 15 days, the men battled the treacherous seas and massive storms with waves up to 100 feet, using only a compass and a sextant. The captain of the Endurance navigated their course until they safely reached land and found help. Shackleton procured another ship and returned to rescue all of his men. He became known as a national hero in England for his courage and perseverance. All of us are making our way through a stormy world. Ever since the first sin in the Garden of Eden, mankind has struggled to make wise decisions about an uncertain future. And the only way to ensure that we do that and not go astray is to have an objective source of truth that will guide us. And just as a compass can guide sailors through dark and uncharted waters, God's word can guide us through uncertain and difficult circumstances. We must simply trust it. We need to trust it over our feelings, over our own wisdom, over contrary advice others might give us, because the Bible is inspired by God. It is without error, and we can always trust it. In fact, everything that a person would ever need in life is found in God's word. Now, many Christians want to make God's word an important part of their lives, but they don't know where to start. Well, a long time ago, I learned a very simple acrostic, HEART, that I think can help us know how to do that, how to put God's word in a prominent place in our lives. H stands for hear God's word. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You hear God's word by listening to sermons and coming to church, even online, listening to audio recordings of the Bible. E stands for examine or read. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he who reads these words." And reading God's word on a regular basis lays a foundation for our spiritual development. A stands for analyze or study. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul instructed, "Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." Bible study doesn't come naturally for most people, but it is so important. I've had people say to me, you know, I try to do Bible study, but I find it so difficult. It's like they know it's good for them in the same way as eating broccoli and spinach, but they don't like it and they don't like how it tastes. They have to develop a taste for it. When I was a kid, I didn't like any vegetables, but now I love all kinds of vegetables because I had to develop an appetite for them. And it had to be fed in order to grow. So we need to feed our Bible study appetite. There's so many wonderful resources available for us to use as a guide. And we can ask the Lord to help us to get started. And when we do, we'll just watch how it will bless our lives. R stands for remember. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, we teach children to memorize scripture all the time, but I wonder how many adults actually take the time to memorize scripture. But through a lifestyle of memorizing scripture, the Holy Spirit will be able to bring the truth to your mind in difficult times, when temptations come, when you're seeking guidance in your life. And God can also bring you opportunities to share scripture with others as a witness to them or to encourage them. T stands for think about or meditate on God's word. Psalm 1:2 says, His delight is to meditate on it day and night. Meditating on what we read is really important to help us internalize scripture. It also reveals to us what it means for us personally. In one Peanuts comic strip, Sally was struggling with her memory verse for Sunday. She was absorbed in her thoughts, trying to figure out what it was, and she was trying to remember. And she said, maybe it's something from the book of reevaluation. She never did find the memory verse, but we should always read the Bible with the intent of reevaluating our attitudes and actions to make sure that they're in line with the truth of God's word. Meditating on what we read can help us do that. I read that in April of 2011, a line of deadly tornadoes ripped across the state of Alabama, leaving some 250 people dead in its wake. Near Wellington, Alabama, the Hardy family realized the storm was coming too late to find permanent shelter. They considered trying to take shelter in a metal clubhouse, but it had already been turned on its side by the strong winds. So in desperation, they took shelter in a small strand of trees. They tied a rope around the children and huddled around them in the trees as the storm passed. A family member said that while they had been scratched by flying dirt and debris, none of them suffered serious injuries. But when I read that story, I thought, imagine how tightly you would cling to the trees and the rope in that kind of a situation, knowing that your life and the life of your child might depend on your grip. That would give you the motivation that you needed to hang on with every ounce of power that you could muster. And although there are no warning sirens or news alerts, each of us is living in the path of destructive storms. There are temptations and destructive philosophies abounding around us. And if we don't have a secure place of protection, we could be destroyed. Because the Word of God is so readily available to us, we often take it for granted rather than treasuring it as the precious resource that it is. When you view the Bible as a lifeline designed to keep you safe through the storms of life, you begin to take it more seriously. I don't believe that you can experience God's power in your life if you're disconnected from God's written word. Joshua was able to imagine what God could do and would do because he knew God's word. And in 2021, one of my goals is to develop a greater appetite for God's word. And I want to encourage you to make a commitment to feast on God's word. It is the bread of life, and it will help you to be able to imagine what God could do in your life. Another reason that Joshua was able to imagine what God would do was because he remembered God's provision in the past. I'm not going to take the time to read it. You can read it later at home if you would like to. But in Joshua chapter 4, we read the story of how the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River on dry land. God instructed them to take 12 stones from the river and set them up as a memorial so that they would always remember his provision for them in the past. Verse 7 says, "These stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." God realizes that we seem to have very bad memories and that we're quick to forget the good and miraculous things he's done for us, especially when we have a new trial in our lives. When I read about the children of Israel, I used to think, how could they be so dumb? They were there when all the plagues were in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea part. They were fed with manna from heaven. They had water from a rock. And I could go on, miracle after miracle, yet they kept forgetting what God had done for them and turning back to their old ways. I used to think, how could they not see God and how he was working in their lives? But you know, we're not so different than them. We need to have a reminder of God's faithfulness. Now, I realize that I need to remember God's faithfulness in my life and all the provision he's made for me over the years. So I began to think about my life and all the things that God has done for me. And I remembered that day as a child when I accepted him as my savior in a little church in Fredericton, Newfoundland. And I made that a rock of remembrance. I remembered the cold day in May when I was baptized in the ocean and I felt the warmth of the Holy Spirit flow over me. And I made that a rock of remembrance. I began to think back to my Bible college days when I wanted to go to Africa so bad for my internship, but I just didn't have enough money. One day I was called to the office and I was given an envelope from an anonymous person and it had the remainder of the money that I needed to go to the exact amount, and I hadn't told anyone of my need or the amount. I made that a rock of remembrance. I remember God's comfort and strength when I found out that my mom had cancer and later when she passed, and I made that a rock of remembrance. I remembered the day over 20 years ago when Pastor Roger Malcolm came to my house and asked me if I'd consider being the new interim children's pastor at Warden. And I made that a rock of remembrance. And then I thought of God's faithfulness over this past year, and I did my own little year in review. And pretty soon I had my own little memorial, and I was feeling very blessed and encouraged. Well, sometimes we need to stop along life's road and look back. Although it might be winding and steep, we can see how God has directed us by his faithfulness. You will see the way he's led, the blessings he's bestowed, the victories he's won, the encouragement he's given. And when we face difficulties, we sometimes forget God's past faithfulness. We see only the detours and the dangerous path. But look back and you'll also see the joys of victory, the challenge of the climb, and the presence of your traveling companion who has promised he will never leave you or forsake you. So on this last Sunday of 2020, I want to encourage each one of you to gather some rocks of remembrance and let them draw you closer to God and remind you of his faithfulness and provision as Joshua did. If you remember God's faithfulness in the past, it will make it much easier to imagine what God could do in the future. Joshua was facing a new situation. A battle was ahead of him. There was walls that needed to come down. God asked Joshua to lead a nation into a new beginning, and he was able to do it because he believed God's promises. He knew God's word, and he remembered God's provision. In this new year, we will face battles. God wants walls to come down in your life that have been there for years. So my challenge for you this morning is just imagine what God could do and would do in your life in the year ahead. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your faithfulness in each one of our lives. And I pray that we would be reminded of all that you've done for us and help us not to forget that. God, we love you and we thank you for all the things that you have done for us. And God, I just pray as this new year comes that we would look to you and keep our eyes focused on you, that you would do great things in each one of our lives, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that we would get a new hunger and thirst for your word, that we would just want to feed on it every day. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless each person, that 2021 will be a year that will be remembered as a year that we changed and became more like you, that walls came down, that we forgave people that we couldn't do in the past, and that we were healed of hurts and things in our lives that have been there for a long time. God, I just thank you, and I just pray your blessing on each person in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. And if you'd like someone to pray with you, I just want you to know you can click the request prayer button on your screen, and one of our hosts or pastors would be happy to pray with you. Take care. God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll see you next Sunday.